Well, that sucked.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
There's not much else to say, right? The Brewers fall 2-1 yesterday in heartbreaking fashion to the Cubs. They dropped the series 2 out of 3. We've got a lot to unpack from this one. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brew Crew all season long. I'm a statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin. Let's look at this game objectively, fairly, with some proper criticism where it's appropriate. Brewers fall 2-1. They have now dropped that series. They split against the Pirates. And I talked about it yesterday. The Brewers, my goal for the Brewers realistically was to go 7-3 over these 10 games against non-competitive opponents. Well, they split with the Pirates. Now they've dropped 2 out of 3 with the Cubs. So that means they're just 3-4 in the first 7 games of this 10-game stretch against the Pirates and the Cubs. You got to look in the mirror right now, man. You are a better team top to bottom on paper than both of these teams, and yet you're 3-4. I know I said yesterday, bad teams beat good teams all the time in baseball. That's more of like a one-off scenario where it's so hard to sweep games. Now that the Brewers have dropped a series to the Cubs, and they're now only 6-7 against the Cubs all season when they are undoubtedly a better team on paper than the Cubs. Something's not clicking on the field for them to get it done. It's the runners in scoring position. It's the lack of offense, lack of consistent offense. I don't want to sound like a sourpuss this whole podcast, but it's what we've seen the last month. The inconsistencies rearing its ugly head this last month. I mean, the losing streak at the start of June. We saw it the last time the Brewers saw the Cubs down at Wrigley, that 4 games in 3 days set where they won the doubleheader on Memorial Day and then were completely inconsistent the last 2 games of that series, sent them into that spiral of a losing streak in the early June. And now they're just barely above a 500 team since breaking that losing streak. Granted, the overall season record is still better than that, but the overall, they're now 47-37. The Cubs are now 34-48. But the offense just continues to go quiet at the worst possible time. Nobody had multiple hits in this game. There was one home run by Keston Hiura, the solo shot in the 5th inning, and a double by Willy Adames to the opposite field. Other than that, no extra base hits. Brewers went 0-6 with runners in scoring position. Just talking about this game, I look at what happened in the middle, later portions of that game against Adrian Sampson, and look, Adrian Sampson, I know you're a big leaguer and everything, and you've earned it. You've earned this spot to make it to this point in your career. The Brewers should not be allowing Adrian Sampson get off the hook with 1 run. That can't happen. You can't expect to be a legitimate playoff contender and let Adrian Sampson give you just all these fits against you. Brewers didn't have multiple runners on at all against Sampson in this game. He went 9 up and 9 down to start this game. Then Yelich manages a single in the 4th. Then Tellez grounds into a broken bat, 4-6-3 double play to end that 4th inning. Hiura hits the home run in the 5th. They follow it up with a bloop single by Narvaez. He gets left stranded with 2 outs. Then a double by Adames actually chased Sampson from this game. And then left on left, they brought Hughes in the face to Tellez, and he ended up flying out to center. 7th inning, they put a man in scoring position with 2 outs after a stolen base by Colton Wong. And then Narvaez ends up striking out but reaches on a wild pitch. So it put Wong to 3rd. Runners on the corners, and Jace ends up grounding out. Then you go to the 8th inning. This was the most frustrating inning. Leadoff single for Jonathan Davis off of Michael Givens. Tough reliever, don't get me wrong. Then Givens throws a ball away on a pickoff to 1st. So you got a man on 2nd base with the top of the order and nobody out. Yelich hits a ground ball toward the middle. It got the job done. It moved to 3rd. I would have rather seen him pulled it, but it got the job done, so who cares? So now you've got 2 opportunities to get him home. And for Willie, all he had to do was get a ball to the outfield. With Jonathan Davis's speed, get a ball to the outfield, tag up, score. Brewers would have the lead 2-1. Instead, Willie pops out on the 2nd pitch of the at-bat. He is ice cold right now. Willie, since the last road trip, since going to Tampa Bay, he's hitting just .167. He hit his first extra base hit with that double, aside from the grand slam he hit in garbage time against Pittsburgh last week. So he's got two extra base hits, the double yesterday in the grand slam against Pittsburgh. 167. He's not making loud contact at all right now. Rowdy is ice cold right now. Just 10 for his last 56. Yes, all 10 hits are for extra bases, and talking about the fact that that's a Brewers record, but he's done it in over 60 plate appearances to have 10 hits, over 60 plate appearances, and all of them for extra bases. That's cool and all, but you would like to see more consistency. So back to this eighth inning. Leadoff single, man on second, moves to third with one out. Pop out and foul ground by Adames and Tellez. They intentionally walk him to go face Urias, who ends up striking out. Urias went 0 for 4 in this game. It's maddening to see this offense continue to go through, because let's be real, we talked about it. This is the offense. Renfro is out. Yes, I understand Renfro is hurt, but the offense should be able to pick up his slack. I know Tyrone Taylor is out. He hasn't been performing well either. It's a collective slump all at once. And I can sit here and blame Josh Hader or Craig Counsell for using Hader or using Boxberger so much as they've had. No, it's not the bullpen's fault right now. It's the offense's fault. You can't expect to win a series scoring 9 runs against the Cubs, and 3 of them coming on one swing. If that ball was a foot shorter by Victor Caratini on Monday, we're looking at a 7-run, 3-game series against the Chicago Cubs. It's not going to work out, man. In the long term, it's just not going to work out. I wanted to get that out of the way, get the negativity gone. Yes, I'm stating the obvious. The offense is cold. But where do you go? Where do you look to? The offensive market is really weak. And for the Brewers specifically, and what they need, they want somebody that can hit well against lefties. Andrew Benintendi, who I've talked about for a long time, it's a left on left. You're not going to use that. Do you go get Christian Walker from the Diamondbacks? Do you go get Ramon Laureano from the A's? Do you surprise with somebody else with more team control? Do you go with a reliever? Do you try to add some help in the bullpen right now? And of course, the name that everyone likes to float around is Brian Reynolds, who's got 2 years of control if you include this year. Look, get Brian Reynolds out of your mind. For one, I don't think the Brewers have enough to get him. For two, I don't think the Pirates would be crazy enough to trade him within the division. And three, I don't think he solves all of your problems. I really don't. He's a good hitter. He's a great hitter. But he's not a bona fide power threat. Right now, it is all on the weight of Rowdy Tellez and Willy Adames. And the fact that both of them are ice cold around, the Brewers go as Willy goes, as we've seen the last two seasons. Willy's ice cold, and it's just not been working out all that great. Brewers need to get going. We're past the halfway point. But try to sit here, flush it in an off day, and move forward. Let's talk about some positive stuff now, okay? I just wanted to vent with you because I can see it on Twitter. I know everyone's frustrated. Don't think that I'm not frustrated too with the lack of offense. It doesn't happen with the snap of the fingers. It just doesn't. This is the team. It's going to take, in my opinion, it's going to take a really hot September. Because remember, yes, the Brewers are home a lot of September. They face some really tough teams. They'll face the Cardinals again. They'll face the Yankees. They'll face the Mets. It's not going to be easy. And you're probably going to face, in that last week of the season, you're facing the Marlins and the Diamondbacks. And on paper, you're like, oh, you got that easy. Well, the Marlins have two amazing pitchers in Sandy Alcantara and Pablo Lopez. And then the Diamondbacks, they have their new ace in Zach Gallen. He's been pitching well as of late. Luke Weaver, Carson Kelly. I mean, they're a decent team. Pitching-wise, it's the offense that's shaky for them, too. The end of this season, it's going to come down to the wire. So as your blood pressure climbs, it's going to keep climbing all the way to the end of September, first week of October. This ain't going anywhere. So buckle up. It's time to really dig deep and prove, you know, your patience with the Brewers, because this is probably the team that they're going to stick with. More on that in a little bit. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at BlueNile.com. Look, if you're thinking about popping the question, if you're just trying to find a special occasion to deliver a fine piece of jewelry for that special person in your life, look no further than BlueNile.com. The convenience of online shopping, but the modern tools to help you find the perfect piece and make her moment sparkle. If you're having trouble, Blue Nile has experts on hand 24/7. They're available via phone or via chat to help you find a memorable gift at any budget. And if it doesn't work out, they got legendary service with 30-day returns. And furthermore, when you commit to a piece, so does Blue Nile. They have guaranteed service and repair for life. and they have the diamond price guarantee. You can contact Blue Nile to compare a competitor's diamond against one of theirs, and in most cases, they can meet or even beat their price. We've got an amazing promo code available for you too. You spend $500 or more, you're going to get $50 off with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's it. All one word, locked on. This is a podcast exclusive offer, and it does include engagement rings. Go to BlueNile.com today. Every order is insured, it ships for free, and it arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. Positives, positives, positives. Corbin freaking Burns. And this will also parlay into a talk about the bullpen here. Corbin Burns, 7 innings, 3 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. He now ties Giovanni Gallardo for the most double-digit strikeout games in Brewers franchise history. That is Corbin's 18th game with double-digit strikeouts. And it feels like all of them have been the last 3 years, right? What a day for him. He only had 1 walk, which is probably the only thing that's going to keep him up at night. And I was thinking about this leading into the game yesterday. I feel bad for the Cubs because, for one, Corbin Burns already has their number. You think back to last year, the 10 straight strikeout game. Yes, he struggled in opening day this year, rebounded on May the 1st, and had a tough luck, no decision in that one as well. Brewers lost that game 2-1. Now they lose this game 2-1. But for Burns, he does his job against the Cubs. And he did not do his job in his last start against the Pirates. Granted, he went into the 6th and the offense bailed him out. He had 4 walks in that game. So Corbin Burns was in the lab, tinkering, trying to find out what was going wrong, trying to figure out what's going on. You were going to get a mad Corbin Burns yesterday. And the Cubs felt that wrath. That was incredible. For Burns, so again, 18th strikeout, double-digit strikeout game. It's the 7th game he's had in the last 2 years with 7 or more innings pitched, no runs allowed, and 10 or more strikeouts. Next closest, 3. That was his 7th. Next closest, again, is 3. And it brings into his other numbers, and it brings into a fascinating conversation about the National League Cy Young right now. Right now, Corbin Burns up to the 2nd. 2.20 ERA. That's 3rd best in the National League. The two guys he's chasing are both sub 2. I don't think that's sustainable. Tony Gonsolin and Sandy Alcantara. 134 strikeouts. That is the most in the National League. That's 17 more than the guy in 2nd. 106 and a 3rd innings pitched. That is the 2nd most in the National League, only behind Sandy Alcantara, who has thrown 2 complete games this year, mind you. And finally, his whip is 0.89. 0.89 is the 2nd best whip in the National League, only trailing Tony Gonsolin. Then you look at quality starts. Joe Musgrove leads in that category. Musgrove's got 14. Burns now has 13, along with Alcantara. When you look at swings and misses, nobody gets more swings and misses than Corbin Burns. He had 26 more swings and misses yesterday. That ties a season high for him. His career high is 30, but he had 26 swings and misses in this one. Incredible stuff again from him. He got a ton of strikeouts on the curveball as well. That was a great pitch for him yesterday. He was rolling with that pitch. 4 strikeouts on the curve, 3 on the cutter, 2 on the changeup, mind you, and 1 on the slider. He had everything working in this game yesterday. Even threw a few sinkers in this one, too, to Ian Happ, made him look silly. Corbin Burns is legitimately throwing his hat in the ring to defend his title for Cy Young, and that is so hard to do. I teased it yesterday. When the target's on your back, and now you're not surprising anybody with your arsenal. Everyone knows about the cutter now. So what else can you do to make it better? And that's what he has done. He has made it better. The curve and the slider have been great complementary pieces for him. We've seen the changeup go on again, off again, but it comes down to command for him. 1 walk breaks the slide of consecutive outings with multiple walks. Burns 100 pitches on the dot. According to Craig Counsell, there was never even a thought of him going back out there for the 8th inning. He was pretty gassed, used up a lot of energy. In that final frame, I'm fine with it. He did his job, okay? This is not on Corbin Burns. He gets a no decision. So it leads us to the bullpen. Remember how we saw Mike Brasso pitch in Tuesday's game? We saw John Del Gustave warming up when it was 8-2, but then they still went to a position player. I thought that was rather peculiar, but then we realize why they ended up going to position player pitching, even with Gustave getting ready. They knew how thin their bullpen was going to be even yesterday. We talk about the lack of high-leverage guys available, knowing you weren't going to throw Williams and Hader in 3 straight days. even Boxberger for that matter. But then we find out after the game, Devin Williams was not available due to workload, according to Craig Counsell. Brad Boxberger did pitch, and he ended up giving up the lead with the loud triple off the wall. Nearly an epic play by Jonathan Davis, but weird eighth inning against Boxberger, and then Hader ends up losing the game in the ninth inning. When you talk about workload, how are those guys suddenly not considered for heavy workloads? I mean, Josh Hader, that was his fifth game in the Brewers' last nine that he's pitched in. Over these last five games now, six innings, seven hits, three runs, all earned, three walks, 10 strikeouts, one homer. Opponents are hitting over 270 against him over these last six games. Something's off with Hader. He's being used a lot, don't get me wrong. But to say workload for Williams and then still trot Hader out there, who, as we said, was not very good on Monday, and he was not very good on Sunday against the Pirates, I thought that was peculiar. But again, goes to the trust that the Brewers are trying to build up. They didn't have enough trust, I guess, to have Gott go back out there for the eighth and give Boxberger at least a breather if they were trying to do that. And the other peculiar thing of all this is that today's an off day. If you're going to let it eat to, you know, yesterday. And to give guys the double day off, I understand it, but Hobie Milner didn't pitch at all in this series. Trevor Gott just threw in yesterday's game. I know Craig Counsell's hands were tied and he wants to defend his players and make sure they're healthy for the end of the season. But man, Hader's going to have to be down for a couple of days now, given how much he's been used to try to figure out what's going wrong with his command. A four-pitch walk from Josh Hader to lead off an inning? When was the last time you saw that? It's so rare from Josh Hader. He needs a few days. He has done his job to this team. He's allowed to be human. We talked about it in May and in early June when you were watching Josh Hader just slam the door, slam the door, slam the door. What he was doing was not human and not sustainable. The fact that he blows it on Monday, doesn't get a blown save for that. He gets a no decision, but today he gets a loss. It's fatigue coming in of just continuing to go out there. The workload's heavy on him. So I wonder how much he's even going to pitch this weekend against the Pirates, trying to give him a breather. Not because there's a closer controversy, but just trying to get his legs back underneath him, because the Brewers then will have another off day coming up on Monday before going to Minnesota. So that's what I look forward to for Hader, trying to give him some time away. That's our pitching segment from this one. Let's look at some overall stuff here in the final segment and then get you on with your day. We're going to have a mailbag episode tomorrow, by the way. But before we talk more about the mailbag and the overall picture, BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs and sports information. They've got futures up there for the NFL if you're interested. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers' new tattoo is going to impact those futures, but hey, Baker Mayfield's now a Carolina Panther. Who knows what the Browns are doing? Who knows what the Panthers are doing? I don't know, but hey, they got futures available at BetOnline, and you've got baseball wagering options on there as well. The best spot for all your scores, podcasts, and news this season. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite sports and events. You can head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and get in on the action at BetOnline, where the game starts. I want to make a quick overarching point here as we get into the big outlook here at of this episode. Mark Adonasio, principal owner of the Brewers, was at the game yesterday and was actually on Bally Sports Wisconsin with an interview with Brian Anderson and Bill Schroeder. He was asked, what do you think the Brewers need to do to make a run into the postseason, make it deeper? And he says, well, look, we obviously need a bat. And I know Matt Arnold and David Stearns are making outgoing calls as we speak. Okay, that's all you can ask. They're going to try to do it. If it takes a deeper budget for Mark Adonasio, I think seeing that yesterday, seeing how that game ended, knowing firsthand, watching it with his own eyes, that they need more consistent offense, maybe that inspires him to open up the book a little bit. Granted, it's already the largest opening day payroll in Brewers history. They're already eating the money for Lorenzo Cain. Looks like they're going to eventually have to eat the money for Pedro Severino if they decide what they're going to do with him. Because mind you, Saturday, Tyrone Taylor is eligible to come off the 7-day concussion list. So then you'll have to make another roster move to make room for him to return to the team. Just a thought to prepare yourself for. But I wonder if that inspires Adonacio to maybe make a bigger move than people are expecting. And while you have this core right now of Burns and Woodruff, and when Peralta comes back, Peralta, and then in the bullpen with Williams and Hader, these cores don't last very long. And the phrase we all like to use in media is you go all in. And if you got a chance to go all in with a team that's good enough to do it, and if you can go get a bat that you feel can really help your team, can do it. But I again warn fans, it's not like you're able to just pluck and grab a guy. Josh Bell is probably the most expensive rental out there this year, and he's a switch hitter. So what do you do with Rowdy? Do you just put Bell straight in the first base and have him play every day? Do you have him be DHing and then put Kutch in right until Renfro returns? These are questions that need to be answered, and maybe there'll be more big leaguers traded for big leaguers this year, and that's what Adonacio teased about the conversations he's had with Matt Arnold and David Stearns. Just a quick thought about that. I don't know if that's going to inspire him to make a move and make a big splash, but the Brewers could use one. If they get one, I would be surprised, personally. We'll see what happens. Overarching stuff. I'm recording this in the middle of the Cardinals and Braves game that they're playing right now, and let's just take a silver lining moment here for a second. Brewers are playing terrible baseball right now. They have not hit their peak. You know, they hit the 19-run game last Friday, but other than that, their offense has been very ice cold, and yet they're still going to be at least two games up on the Cardinals here at the start of the day. So if the Cardinals win, they'll be two games up. If the Cardinals lose, they'll still be three games up. And the overarching point is this division is not very good. The NL Central is not good. And the fact that the Brewers get paired up with the AL East, maybe the most brutal division to get paired up with, doesn't help your win-loss totals. And again, that is lurking coming up later in the season, in September. And the Brewers haven't even faced the Dodgers yet this season. You look at their upcoming schedule. Minnesota, very good team in the AL Central. San Francisco, who knows what the heck's going on out there right now, that they've been underperforming by their standards. Their pitching's been all over the place. And then you get Colorado, who's in last place in the West. That's a little bit different. But then Minnesota again. You go to Boston, and then you go to Pittsburgh coming out of the All-Star break right around the trade deadline. What will happen for the Brewers coming up until they see the Cardinals again? Because you're going to see a few more playoff teams. As you get ready for Pittsburgh, obviously not a playoff team, but Minnesota, that's a playoff team. San Francisco, a fringe playoff team. You see Minnesota again later on for a two-game set. You go to Boston, that's another playoff team. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati are not. Then Tampa Bay. So that's six series against playoff teams in the next 10 before you face St. Louis again. And that will lead into another tough stretch where you go Tampa Bay, St. Louis, Dodgers, Cubs, Dodgers, Cubs. And I know what you think, oh, Dom, the Cubs are nothing. They'll be fine. Well, the Cubs are 7-6 against the Brewers right now. It's not going to be a rollover type series. It's not going to get easier. The schedule isn't lighting up. I would be ready to see some more close games. And as I've been warning since day one of this season, this division is coming down to the last day of the year. It's just going to. Okay, so let's see what the Cardinals do. You'll already know the result by the time that you're listening to this. But again, an off day today. Okay, off day. So what we're going to do is we're going to have a mailbag episode tomorrow. We're going to talk about trade targets. I'm going to go through the prospect rankings as well, a little deeper than what we did in Wednesday's podcast. Will Salmon had that great piece. If you haven't already, go ahead and read it. We're going to go through a big mailbag. So if you've got a mailbag question, it could be about the team. It could be about anything else. Just tweet us at Locked On Brewers. I'm at Dom_Catronio. Either one. They're in the show notes. If you've got a question that you want to hear answered, it'll be a full mailbag episode coming up tomorrow before the Pirates come to town for a three-game set. And then the Brewers hit the road for the final road trip, I should say, of the first half. So again, at Locked On Brewers. That's simple. Or at myself, at Dom_Catronio, with your question, and it will be featured in tomorrow's mailbag episode. That's it for this one. Let's take a deep breath again. Losing's not fun. But hey, it gets the blood pumping, and it makes the wins that much more exciting. Okay? You're past the halfway point. Urgency is going to come soon. Not quite there yet. 84 games in. You still got another 78 to go. Let's let the Brewers play ball, and let's see what happens. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thank you again for listening. Right back here tomorrow. Until then, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.